Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. I don't know if it's too early to say that, but we're here. And we're starting our Christmas series. I'm really excited about this. I really pray that even this message would just, man, take us into the beauty that is the Christmas story. And today I want to read the kind of what most people call the prologue of John. And it's a really deep passage, so don't worry if a lot of things are going over you. We don't have time to cover them all. That's just my invitation for you to go back here. I think it's so true that I think there's a saying that the Bible is shallow enough for children not to drown, deep enough for elephants to swim in. And we're going to do some swimming today. Not that I'm calling you elephants, but it's gonna be deep. So I'm just going to read this, and I just pray that the Holy Spirit is just going to illuminate these words in your heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, not even one thing came into being that had come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. A man came, one sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify about the light. This was the true light that coming into the world enlightens every person. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not accept him. But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and called out, saying, "This was he whom I've said, he who is coming after me has proved to be my superior because he existed before me." It's wild because John is younger, yet he's acknowledging, "You existed before me." For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son, who is in the arms of the Father, has explained him. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for just another opportunity to look at the Christmas story. And God, we just ask today for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that this would hit our hearts anew. You know, what we're talking about today, these are you taking on flesh. We've heard this before. But God, we want it to revolutionize our life. We want to receive it. More fully even today, and we need the help of your Holy Spirit to do that. So do a great work in our hearts and speak to us. Amen. I love John's prologue. I love his, if we could call it his depiction of the Christmas story. It's a little different, right? In Matthew was written to the Jews, so it starts with the genealogy, and it's all the Jewish people were like, okay, yeah, this is the one that's coming through the line of David. Okay, awesome. And then we have Dr. Luke. And Dr. Luke is a meticulous man. He says, I've carefully investigated everything from the beginning, and I, too, decided to write an orderly account. So Luke is interviewing different people, probably interviewing Mary of her song and all of these things. And then we have John. And John kind of zooms way, way, way out. And he gives us the zoomed out. You know what's happening in that stable? You know, it's a story that's gone on for a very long, long, long time. In the beginning was actually the Word. He's talking about the Word is eternal. It wasn't created. And the word that John chooses to use here is the Greek word logos. And this would have been a word that the Jewish people would have known. Talks about the Word of God. God made creation through the Word. It was His creative agent. And by the Word, He accomplishes His will. And with His Word, He creates. And it's the agent of creation. And then to the Greek audience as well, who's reading this, they also knew that word. It was very popular. The Greeks were a logical, philosophical people. So when you see the word logos, they would have been kind of saying, oh, in the beginning was the logic or the rational principle that brought all things into order and gave all things purpose. The only thing is that they would have seen that as impersonal. And here in the book of John is saying it's not impersonal, it's the person. The second person of the Trinity is the Word, is the Logos. And I think how amazing is it to know that we've been created in and through the Logos. And that's not just a force. I think right now the world is starting to realize, man, intelligent life must have some intelligent maker, right? There must be an eternal person that made me, and if there's not, then what's the purpose to life? What's the purpose of my life? Why am I standing here? And John is letting us know, hey, in the beginning was the Word. And then he said, and the Word was with God. So we see the relationship of the Father and the Word here, distinct from God, but yet the Word was God. John's talking about the Trinity, that Jesus is distinct from the Father, but also God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. Apart from Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. And even still, in Him, we live and move and have our being. How many of you know that it's by the grace of God that we woke up this morning? We're being held together by His power, by His grace. It's pretty wild to think about. And when we look at the Christmas story, we acknowledge that Jesus becoming man never meant that He lost any of His divine qualities, because He's still holding the world together. And I think maybe the climax of this prologue is in verse 14. And it says this: the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the most, we're going to be talking about this for the rest of my sermon, because I think this is the most wild moment in human history. And it's really sad to think of many religions are man's attempt to ascend to God, to be good enough, to be, you know, right with God, or to try to sacrifice enough and pray enough to earn His favor. I still remember being in India, and we were in one of the temples where they continued to make sacrifices to try to appease these gods. I had one view where they were at the altar and just they were clawing just to try to reach Him, just to try to appease Him, and I'll never forget that. And I felt it felt so sad that the good news is that we'll never ascend to God. We'll never be good enough. But God came down and took on flesh so that we could dwell with Him. And again, I want us to think about that. The eternal Son of God, the agent of creation, whom all things were made, the world is held together, took on flesh. And when we mean took on flesh, we mean He was truly God, but truly man. Some people would say, well, He must have been just God in a skin suit. He would have been an all-knowing baby, and no. He took on flesh. He lived the human experience. We can sympathize with Him in every way. He was tested like us, yet without sin. But He was a baby. One illustration I thought of this morning was to borrow someone's baby. I don't know if someone wants to. you want to, you can. All the mothers are like, no, 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 no. But when you think of a baby, it's wild, right? Walter, no, I'm just kidding. He's carrying his baby. I don't need a baby. But I just want us to think about this. He became man. He dwelt on this earth. It's one of the reasons why I want to go to Israel one day, because does it ever feel like, is that another planet, right? Did you get that? No, it's this earth. And he became a man. And Jesus became what we are so that he could heal who we are. I love the quote by Gregory of Nazianzus. He says this, "For that which he has not assumed, he is not healed. But that which is united to his Godhead is also saved." He's saying, like, Jesus, you know, again, he took on manhood. He had a body like us, a mind, a soul. And again, was without sin and always God. And the early church has struggled with this concept through all time because it blows your mind, right? I don't know if you, it's like, you know, that meme where that guy's trying to calculate things and it just doesn't work. It's like, man, this is wild. It is wild. And I want to just invite us into its mystery, its wonder, and its amazingness. And I'll try to explain it a little bit as well too, but we can't fully explain it. I like what they said at the Council of Chalcedon as they were talking about how Jesus became man, and it says this, "The one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, to be acknowledged in two natures." The two natures is he's the God-man, truly God, truly man. Without confusion, Jesus didn't become this in-between hybrid. The nature is confusing. Without change, some people would have said, well, the divine nature would have swallowed up Jesus' human nature. No, without change, neither nature is altered or diminished. Without division, some people saw Jesus as two persons, but we acknowledge Jesus as one person. And without separation. And this is where I want to stop. You can read the quote and the rest of the quote in the weekly if you want. But when Jesus took on flesh, it's kind of known that he didn't just take on flesh for 33 years. He didn't just rent a body. He took on the form of man. And you know, when Jesus was saying, if you destroy this temple, I'll rise it up again in 3 days, what was the temple he was talking about? His body. This is why it says in 2 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity. Who is that? The man, Christ Jesus. He's the God-man. And he took on flesh and he died and he rose and now ascended in heaven is his glorified body. You could shake his hand. It's wild. And I want you to think of the love here. The amount of love of God that would take on flesh. And the whole Trinity says, yes, we're going to make this happen. The Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit said, yes, this is the plan. To unite God and man. That's wild. Like, I like penguins. Somewhere like, where is this going? It might go somewhere. I like penguins. I remember being in Bible college, and to soothe me, I would live stream penguins at the zoo. And they're so cute. They waddle, you know. Just so cute. And then they jump, and all of a sudden they're swimming, and they're like, whoa, sweet. And I want the penguins to be saved. I'm all for that. Great, let's do it. But if someone would say, Brenton, to save the penguins, you need to become a penguin, I would say, I don't like them that much. Like, no, absolutely not. And am I going to be, you know, take on the life of a baby penguin and live as a penguin? No, that's not happening. But here we have Jesus, God, eternally God, the Word of God existing throughout all eternity, taking on flesh. Being born in a manger, a humble birth. I love the quote by C.S. Lewis, "The stable once held something inside of it that was bigger than our whole world." This is wild. And I love in Luke 2 because you see the people in the story that are experiencing Jesus, they're responding appropriately. Let's read it. So they hurried off, right? The shepherds, as soon as they heard this news, they went. You don't see angels come and tell you what's happening and say, "Oh, cool, let's watch the sheep." No, they left. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. This was not news that they were just going to keep to themselves. I don't think they could. How could they do that? All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Like, if this is happening, this is amazing. How do you know this is amazing news? It's amazing. I pray the Holy Spirit would continue to amaze us by this news. And then it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. They're worshiping, they're pumped for all the things that they had seen and what they had just been told. But think about Mary, right? She delivers this baby boy. She has this human baby in front of her. Any babies I can borrow? No, okay, fine. We're gonna pretend. And she's holding this baby in her hands, yet it's this baby that's holding the whole world through him. She delivered this baby is going to deliver her, the Messiah. Think about all that she had to ponder. She has this baby boy in front of her, looks like a baby, cries like a baby, needs to feed like a baby, needs to be changed like a baby, and shepherds are worshiping. Wise men are crossing the Arabian desert because they found this star and they're giving expensive gifts and offering worship to her baby. How many of you know she had some things to think about and ponder and treasure in her heart? Could this be? And I just invite us this Christmas, I think we have some things to ponder. How many of you have woken up in January and you had a decent Christmas, but it's so cold. You're 10 pounds heavier than you were. $100 more broke. Hundreds of dollars more broke. And you're like, okay, I guess that's Christmas. I've spent some time where I just miss pondering the fact that God became flesh. And I think, you know, as I grow up, I don't want to see just baby Jesus. I want to really see, wow, that's God. That's the God-man who came to die for me, who made this sacrifice so I could live with him. And I don't know about you, but I remember, how many of you remember the wonder when you were 5 years old of Christmas? Just the wonder of it. I remember getting a Super Nintendo. We still have the box in my parents' basement. When I see that box and Donkey Kong, it's like, wow, that was a good Christmas. But as you get older, some of the shine wears off, right? Now I remember sometimes, you know, you know what? On Christmas, I would go see my grandma who's passed away. You get presents and you're like, could have bought that for myself. Who really cares? I've got enough. And if you don't get hit with a deeper hope, again, you wake up in January. Is that it? Right? I just want to invite you into this deeper hope this Christmas. What if Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year? Not for what the world sells it to be, but to ponder and treasure up this thing, this event that happened, that's the most shocking, the most amazing event in human history. And it screams, God loves you. God wants to be with you. He took on flesh to be with you. And this is why, when we look at the Christmas story, why did God do this? It was to reconcile God and man through Jesus. This is what we read in Ephesians. It's really sad news until God comes and intervenes. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. This doesn't sound good right now, right? But God, so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point us to all the future ages as examples of his incredible wealth and of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus so you can do the good works that he planned us for long ago. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you've been united with Christ Jesus. You were once far away from God. But now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. And this is what Emmanuel, God with us, is all about. God wants to be near to you. The Word, who is God, became flesh to dwell among us. And Jesus didn't want to just dwell among us for 33 years and say, "It's been fun, guys. You saw me, you saw the glory of the Father." No, Jesus, when he was on earth, says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to take you and I'm going to be with you forever." We read this in John 14. I don't know if it's on the slide. It's John 14, verse 3. "I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." God wants to be with you. This is his plan. This is his will, that he would be with me forever. Man, God wants to be with you forever. You might think, "Do I want to even be with me forever? I'm so glad I have a wife that wants to be with me until I die, but God wants to be with me forever." Whoa, is it true? Yeah. Revelations 21, verse 3, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He came to bring you near by the blood of Jesus." This is an incredible gift, that God wants you near to him. And something that kind of blowed my mind about John's prologue is it ends with this in verse 18. "No one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son, who is in the arms of the Father, has explained him." That word there, I left the Greek word there, because that word there is talking about Jesus from all creation past was in the arms of the Father, or in the bosom. That word is often said in the bosom or at the side, like close. And the word in Greek, kolpos, I don't speak that language, so I'm just going to try, is mentioned one other time in John. It's mentioned in John 13, verse 23, and it says this: "There was reclining one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." This was John's title for himself. "I'm the disciple who Jesus loves." Is that conceited to say that? No. This is scripture. It's right. It's accurate to say that. Right? John was like, "God loves me. right? We have to remember that humility is not viewing ourselves less than what God calls us. And John realized, man, I'm loved. I'm loved by God. And where is John at the Last Supper? He's in the bosom of Jesus. He's close. I love what Craig Keener said about this. As Jesus resided in the Father's bosom, so the beloved disciple rested in Jesus' bosom. Yet by implication, the same is true of believers. We're brought into this fellowship, brought into this family. It says in John 1:11, he came to his own, yet his own people did not accept him. How sad is that? He came to his own, the people that were made through him, they didn't accept him, but as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to enter into the family of God. To those who believe his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born again. We were born into Adam. We need to be born again so that we could be with Christ Jesus and dwell with him forever. I invite you to receive him this Christmas. That word there, receive, talks about a taking to oneself. Jesus actually uses the same word in John 14, verse 3, where he is going to receive us one day. And now we need to receive Jesus. That word talks about, too, receiving a guest into our home. And how many of you know how to receive a guest into your home with honor, right? And when you look at the Middle Eastern sense of the word, like they would receive guests with honor. They would roll out the welcome wagon. They would rearrange everything. They would say, how can I honor you? How could I please you, my guest? How can I have fellowship with you? And this is how we can receive this gift, this Christmas. We don't just want to open this gift and say, whatever, great. No, we receive it. We receive it. We embrace it. We rearrange our lives so we can honor Jesus, because this is the gospel. This is the good news that God wants to dwell in us and with us forever. And today, if you're far away from God, this is the message, Emmanuel, God with us. God came, took on flesh so he can be with you. And when Jesus was walking the earth, I'm reminded of the story of Zacchaeus. He was an evil man. He was a tax collector. His job was pretty much to rob people and then give what was owed to the government, but then rob them and make money off of their misfortune. But he heard about Jesus. There's something about this man, something about his teachings that made that wee little man climb a tree. It's pretty wild. Like, he really wanted to, like, what is it about him? And he was far away. He was far away from Jesus, but then Jesus came to him and said, hey, I want to come over for lunch. Wow. And Zacchaeus received Jesus into his home, but I think there was something more happening. He received Jesus into his life. Because they have one meal, and we don't know what was shared at that meal. But at some point, as Zacchaeus was looking at Jesus and hearing Jesus, there was a revelation in his heart to make him say, I'm going to give away all that I've made, all that I've robbed, I'm giving it all away, plus way more. He gave his whole life because he saw who Jesus was. And this is the worth of our King, Jesus. Amen? I pray that we receive him and we accept this gift. We ponder the incarnation that God became man in the God-man Christ Jesus. We think about that. We slow down. We sit in silence and just say, wow, that happened. We enjoy this fellowship that we're brought near by the blood of Christ. How many of you know that we can enjoy that? Don't just be Martha this Christmas, working, serving. Be Mary, sit at the feet of Jesus, enjoy him. Wow. Receive this gift. And then praise, right? Respond like the shepherds. Woohoo! I'm going to tell everyone. I'm going to praise God. This is awesome. I just want to close reading the lyrics of the parts of the lyrics of Joy to the World. And I pray it's our heart this Christmas season. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. We can be joyful. I know life is hard. I know Christmas can be hard, but we can be joyful because of this. Let the earth receive her king. I pray that you would receive your king. We pray for the world that as they see Christmas, it would, as they see commercial Christmas, it would leave them feeling really empty inside and say there's got to be something more to life. And they would realize that the Word became flesh to dwell with them, and they would receive Christ in their life. They would repent and say, be like Zacchaeus, I'm giving everything away so that I can be with God. Let every heart prepare him room. Can you do that with me this Christmas? Receive God and prepare room for him. I don't want Jesus to be in the background of my Christmas. Once in a while, I glance at the nativity. No, I want my heart to just be in awe of who he is. In preparing him room, I want to give my life to him. I want to ponder that God became man so that he could bring me near, and now I'm brought near to God through the blood of Jesus, and he wants to dwell with me forever. And this kind of love seems too good to be true, but it's true. This is what he wants. So I give my whole life to him. I make room for him in my life. And heaven and nature sing. What would it look like for us to ponder the incarnation, the majesty of Jesus, to be caught up with the true Christmas story? And we do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we show up Sunday, and there's this buzz in the house because we're about to join in a chorus to our King. What would that look like? We would come here on a Sunday, have you been thinking about Jesus, the incarnation, what it means for our life, that we've been brought near, that we're born again to live with him forever? And now we're going to huddle together and we're going to sing songs, and can we explode in praise, church? Can we? I really pray that happens and we have a revelation of the Holy Spirit, that he would open our eyes to truly see these things. Because sometimes we're worshiping, but we're missing this grand picture and all of these realizations. So Holy Spirit, help me, amen? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help me to see these things. God, thank you that you, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. You're the one that holds creation. That creation was made through, and we live and move and we have our being, but you came to the world and the earth didn't receive you. God, if there's any hearts in this place today that haven't received you, haven't said, Jesus, you're my King, I receive you, I confess my sin, I invite you into my life, be the King and Lord of my life, I don't want to live without you, Jesus, because it's you that made me, so how could I not receive you, because I'm created through you, and you made me to be invited back into nearness with you, that sin separated. And Jesus, I just pray that we would enjoy, be like the beloved disciple John, who enjoys this intimacy with you, who's resting in your bosom, in your arms. You came so that we can experience this kind of relationship. We were lost, but Emmanuel, God with us, was your plan to dwell with us forever, to be the mediator between us and you through Christ Jesus and his flesh, his death, and his resurrection. And so God, this Christmas, may we see our glorious King and give him the praise that he's due. Give our lives to him. give our allegiance to Him, give our devotion to Him, give our love to Him, give everything to Him. Because it's all about You, God. We love You. Open our eyes to these things, Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.